This is Crawford Media Group's Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of our greatest Christian leaders. On this show, we'll get in touch with Dr. Charles F. Stanley.
From a lonely and isolated youth to one of the world's greatest Christian leaders, Dr. Charles F. Stanley had led a God-centered life. Heard around the world in over 50 languages, Dr. Stanley and In Touch Ministry had been sharing the word of the Lord for over 50 years. A man of unwavering faith, Dr. Stanley faced each trial and tribulation the best way he knew how, on his knees to the Lord.
You make prayer a priority and make obedience a way of life and trust God in every circumstance and leave all the consequences to Him.
Before he was called home to the Lord on April 18, 2023, Dr. Stanley had seceded from his role as senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Atlanta, handing the reins over to the church's senior associate pastor, Dr. Anthony George. Dr. Stanley had continued to broadcast In Touch worldwide, including on the Crawford Media Group Network, but he also used almost every kind of medium to reach and save souls.
When I think about the people who have affected my life, my grandfather spiritually, but W.A. Criswell when it came to preaching.
Dr. Stanley's grandfather, George Washington Stanley, was a bathed in the blood of Jesus, fire and brimstone Pentecostal preacher whose sermons were unabashedly ablaze with the Spirit of the Lord. But his demeanor out of the pulpit was that of a quiet, unassuming man. As Dr. Stanley's desire to become a minister of the gospel grew, so did his need to spend time with this exceptional man. His grandfather lived in North Carolina, and Dr. Stanley wasn't able to see him often. He spent a glorious 6 days with him in 1949, and young Charles experienced firsthand his grandfather's preaching of almost a full week of revival messages. He was able to visit again when he was 12, and by that time, Charles could feel his grandfather's preaching becoming a part of him. At the age of 16, Dr. Stanley boarded a Trailways bus and headed to his grandfather's home in Siler City, North Carolina, for another visit. By this time, his grandfather was in his 70s and had retired from preaching. But the unmistakable Spirit of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit continued to emanate from him. They spent hour after hour talking about life and ministry. Dr. Stanley has said that this time with his grandfather was six of the most profound and important days of his life and was instrumental in how he would eventually live and serve the Lord and became the foundation of the godly principles by which he preaches and teaches today. While in seminary, Dr. Stanley was given an old-fashioned wire recording of Dr. W.A. Criswell, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. The church was only 40 miles from Southwest Seminary, where Dr. Stanley and Annie were enrolled. So they decided to make the drive to see Dr. Criswell preach in person.
I had heard Dr. Criswell preach on a wire tape. So my wife and I were just friends at that point. She had a car and I didn't. Ask if she'd take me to Dallas and listen to this man preach. So we did. It made such an indelible impression on my mind and heart. And so when Dr. Criswell opened the Bible, he opened it to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
You're listening to the services of the First Baptist Church in downtown Dallas. And this is the pastor bringing the morning message from the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. The message this morning is from the first few verses of that chapter. In that chapter, you have answered some of...
He said the title of this message is This Grace Wherein We Stand. And then he started. I can hardly tell you this without weeping. The kind of effect it had on me. I thought, here's my response was, God, I knew there was a man somewhere who could preach like this. He inspired me more than anybody in all of my life when it came to preaching. He was true to God's word. He had power. He was enthusiastic. He was excited about it. And I knew that he believed every word he was preaching.
Charles Fraser Stanley was born on September 25, 1932, to Charlie and Rebecca Stanley in the small farming town of Dry Folk, Virginia, birthed in the same room in which his mother had been born. Dr. Stanley came into the world at an inopportune time in history, in the midst of the Great Depression, the biggest economic disaster of the 20th century. Most people of that time were suffering financially, and life in the United States was extremely difficult. But Dr. Stanley's father, Charlie Stanley, was fortunate to have stable employment working at a local textile mill. But that good fortune was soon to end when Charlie was diagnosed with Bright's disease, a serious kidney ailment. Within 6 agonizing months of the diagnosis, Charlie was called home to the Lord, leaving a 24-year-old widow and 9-month-old Charles in dire straits without even her own parents to help. Becca Stanley had lost both of her parents before the birth of her first child. Her mother died unexpectedly of a stroke when Becca was just 17 years old, and she had to quit school to care for her brothers and sisters. Then in the spring of 1932, her father went to be with Jesus just 4 months before little Charles was born. But through her faith and trust in God, she faced the adversity with strength and grace and continued to lead a godly life. Dr. Stanley credits his mother more than any other earthly being for impacting his life. Through his mother, Dr. Stanley learned to love God's word and to obey the principles by which the Lord commands us to live. She showed him how to pray by getting on her knees before the Lord every night with young Charles at her side. But most importantly, Becca Stanley instilled in her son the desire to know God and to depend on Him for everything in life. Much of Dr. Stanley's adolescence was spent on his own. Although his mother found people to look after young Charles while she was gone all day working, oftentimes he was alone, even when he was very small. His mother left for work before he rose, and she did not return until hours after he returned home from school. He didn't feel neglected, but he did suffer bouts of insecurity and loneliness. Becca and her son also moved quite a bit, 17 times by the time Charles was 6 years old, so having neighbors and friends was difficult to cultivate. When he was very young, Charles used his vivid imagination to alleviate his loneliness. He would create make-believe worlds of cowboys and soldiers. When funds allowed, he would spend the 14 cents and his Saturday afternoons at the movies, enjoying the adventures of favorite movie stars Errol Flynn, Gary Cooper, John Wayne, and Jimmy Stewart. He was especially interested in the newsreels that always ran with the main features. As he grew older, he collected stamps and built model airplanes and developed a thirst for news, especially world events.
By his own admission, Dr. Stanley was not the greatest student in school. He neither liked school nor did he do well in his classes. This was due in part to an exhausting paper route, which required him to rise very early in the morning in order to deliver to over 125 customers before he went to school, and then do a late afternoon delivery to the same folks after his school day was done. Young Charles' earnings made it possible for him to buy school lunches, books, and clothes, and help his mother with the household expenses. And he was able to buy 2 suits a year on layaway, which meant that he could look his very best for church. But being young and alone during the wee hours of the morning when the streets were abandoned was dangerous, as Charles would find out one morning when 2 men tried to kidnap him. He was able to get away from them, and he reported the incident to his uncle, who was the head of detectives on the police force. He also escaped being hit by cars on numerous occasions while having to cross North Main Street in Danville.
I was fortunate enough to deliver newspapers when I was a kid growing up, which meant I had to get up at 5:30 every morning and take off. And I guess I had about 125 customers. So it got me up early. Well, to tell you the truth, I was a little afraid of the dark, especially where I delivered papers. So I just decided, well, I'm going to pray, just trust God. I think of how many times God saved me from accidents, because in the afternoon I had to deliver newspapers again. And so I was in and out of cars. I was on the main street. And I remember one time I stepped out in front of this car and this wheel screeched. This lady, she stood on her porch. She said, "Charles Stanley, don't get killed in front of my house."
It was through incidents such as these that Dr. Stanley recognized God's awesome protection and provision. Although he felt the overwhelming call to ministry, Charles worried about how he would fund his college education. Even though he worked 2 jobs, it was nowhere near what he needed to pay college tuition. As always, his mother encouraged young Charles to pray, telling him that if God had called him to preach, he would make a way for Charles to get the tuition he needed. About that time, Charles left the Pentecostal Holiness Church after its pastor had retired. He felt he needed a change. and with his mother's approval, he joined Moffett Memorial Baptist. Most of his friends were members, and there was a gifted and powerful Bible preacher there, Reverend David Hammock. Charles could not help but feel that God had led him to this church. And, as it turned out, God opened many doors for Dr. Stanley through that church. An opportunity to compete in a public speaking contest not only led to a second place win, but it set ablaze his passion for proclaiming the Word of God. Shortly after that, Charles was invited to preach his first sermon ever at his former church. He accepted and decided to preach on Genesis 3, the story of when God was seeking Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned by eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Charles brought no notes, relying instead on the faith that God would speak through him. His mother bolstered his courage with a reading of Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9, which begins, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, commanded you." Charles walked the three blocks to the church with that passage pounding in his heart. As he took to the pulpit, the message began to flow from him, and he could feel the Holy Spirit move through him. That experience only deepened Dr. Stanley's desire to go to college and be trained in the ministry so that he could preach the Word of God. And yet his prospects still looked dim. But one evening, Charles was lamenting to a friend about his financial woes when Reverend Hammock from his home church walked by. His friend beckoned over to the Reverend and explained Charles's situation. Reverend Hammock told Charles he could help, and within a few days, Reverend Hammock had secured for Dr. Stanley a 4-year scholarship at the University of Richmond. After finishing high school, he went on to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Richmond, Virginia. He would then go on to earn a Bachelor of Divinity degree at Southwestern Theological Seminary in Texas. From there, he got his Master of Theology and Doctor of Theology degrees at Luther Rice Seminary in Georgia. But for a while, a spate of misfortune during his senior year at the University of Richmond caused Dr. Stanley to question whether or not he was truly following God's plan for his life. An incredibly painful football injury, exasperation with several instructors' liberal and blasphemous teaching ideas, along with failing grades in a couple of classes, had Dr. Stanley seeking a sign from God. He remembered a story his grandfather George Washington Stanley had told him when he was facing the same question. His grandfather asked for a sign from God to let him know that he was on the right path. 2 shooting stars streaked across the sky, a rare sight, and his grandfather knew that this was the sign he sought. So Dr. Stanley asked God for the same sign, 2 falling stars, to let him know that he was truly being called to preach. Several clear, beautiful, star-filled evenings passed, but no falling stars. Charles was becoming discouraged until one night, after having dinner in town, a friend recommended a shortcut back to the dorm room when they both saw it. 2 shooting stars. The Lord had settled, once and for all, Charles's calling to ministry. While in college, Dr. Stanley joined the Air Force ROTC and also signed up for the armed services for 4 years after he graduated with the goal of becoming a chaplain. But in his last year of college, Dr. Stanley felt God's call for him to go to seminary before he did anything else with his life. As always, he prayed about it and, realizing that God would make a way, he met with the colonel on staff to plead his case for release from his 4-year commitment. When Charles explained that he felt that God wanted him in seminary, the colonel, without saying another word, tore the enlistment papers in half. And while Dr. Stanley did not understand then why God wanted him in seminary rather than to minister to the military, he has blessed him with the ability to now reach troops all over the world. Dr. Stanley graduated from the University of Richmond on June 7, 1954, and 2 years later, he was ordained into ministry at Moffett Memorial Baptist.
Dr. Stanley was introduced to the woman who would become his wife while visiting Grove Avenue Baptist Church. He went on the invitation from a friend. Grove Avenue Baptist Church was much larger than what Dr. Stanley was accustomed. It was the chairman of the deacons who brought Anna Johnson over to Charles, and while putting her hand in his, announced, "Charles, I want you to meet the girl you're going to marry." Initially, Dr. Stanley thought the deacon was just teasing him, but it wasn't too long before he saw her as the most godly and committed Christian girl he had ever known. Dr. Stanley was smitten. and in what he considered could only be engineered by God, Annie and Charles were both headed to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Annie would drive herself, Charles, and another friend in her car to the school in Fort Worth, Texas. Their friendship blossomed, and Charles and Annie would soon become prayer partners. It was during one of their prayer sessions that Dr. Stanley realized that he was truly in love with Annie. He summoned the courage to tell her, imagining how beautiful and memorable it would be to finally tell her he loved her and hear her say that she loved him too. But instead of getting a romantic "I love you" in return, all Annie said was, "Thank you." Charles was crestfallen. But in short time, Annie would tell Charles that she loved him too. Charles wrote his mother that he believed he had found the wife God had chosen for him. It was 6 long months before Dr. Stanley was able to bring Annie to Danville to meet his mother. Not long after, on August 6, 1955, Charles and Annie tied the knot. With a year of seminary left to complete, the couple moved into a tiny apartment on Fairmount Drive in Fort Worth. Dr. Stanley was at odds as to what to do next. He had no idea of how to get a church, and he had no connections that could recommend him to a willing congregation. And so Dr. Stanley prayed on it, and he remembers the Lord clearly saying to him,
"Whatever you accomplish in life, you'll accomplish on your knees. Not by your intelligence, not by your schooling, not by your training, not by this, only on your knees."
At first, Charles and Annie prayed about going into the missionary field. After much prayer, Charles felt God telling him that this was not the plan, and so they declined the offer. Instead, Charles and Annie spent the summer at a cottage in Lake Lure in Hickory Nut Gorge, North Carolina, that was owned by Annie's family. It was a restful and rejuvenating time for the couple after having spent 4 years in college and 2 years in seminary. But by the end of the summer of 1956, God was opening the doors of opportunity for the Stanleys.
Dr. Stanley felt the call to ministry at a young age. His mother gave him the money to purchase his first study Bible. It was a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, the exact same Bible his grandfather, George Washington Stanley, had used to preach throughout his lifetime. It was a costly $15, almost 2 weeks' wages for his mother. But Dr. Stanley said that to him it was worth $1 million. Dr. Charles Stanley began his formal ministry in a little church in North Carolina. Fruitland Baptist Church in the mountains of Hendersonville was home to salt-of-the-earth, hard-living mountain folk. Charles and Annie worked hard to share the gospel with the entire community and made frequent home visits with the residents. Here's Andy Stanley from his book, Deep and Wide, with more of the story.
My parents began their ministry together in 1957 in the Smoky Mountains of North Carolina. After graduating from seminary, my dad accepted a call to pastor Fruitland Baptist Church. From Fruitland, we moved to Fairborn, Ohio. Then my dad accepted a call to First Baptist Church of Miami, Florida. We lived in Miami 7 years before transitioning to First Baptist Church of Bartow. We were there only 15 months when a friend called and asked my dad to pray about coming to First Baptist Church of Atlanta as the senior associate pastor. He wasn't the least bit interested. We loved Bartow, but he assured Felix that he would pray about it, hoping Felix wouldn't call back. But he did. And he kept calling, and apparently, so did God. In 1969, our family moved to Atlanta. It was a rough transition. Miami and Bartow were paradise by comparison.
Dr. Stanley became an associate pastor of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta. Within 6 months of joining the staff, Dr. Stanley began to clash with several of the men who ran the church.
The church in Atlanta wasn't healthy. 2 years after we moved to Atlanta, the deacons asked the senior pastor to step down, which he did, asking my dad to fill the pulpit while they put together a pastor search committee to begin looking for a replacement. And it wasn't long before the church began to grow. This was a bit disturbing to the power brokers. They didn't feel like my dad was qualified to be senior pastor because of his age, education, and his irritating propensity to preach about sin, repentance, and personal salvation. It wasn't long before they decided my dad would need to step down, but that was going to be tricky. The church was experiencing new life. The new members class was full. The baptistry was being used every Sunday night. Offerings were increasing. In spite of all the good things going on, they put pressure on him to resign. It was subtle at first. They explained how difficult it would be for the church to find the right man as long as he was around. Promises were made, severance was assured, favorable letters would be written. They assumed he would go quietly like the pastors before him. But my dad was cut from a different cloth than the other guys. He grew up in an atmosphere where the only predictable and unchanging component was the sovereignty of God. Discovering and doing God's will was everything. It was that interminable drive that brought order to the chaos of his childhood, so he was not about to let a group of deacons rewrite his life script. He believed then, as he does today, that decisions should be made on your knees. So after each encounter with the power brokers, he would respond by saying, "Let me go home and pray about it."
For a year and a half, these men tried unsuccessfully to get rid of him. Instead, Dr. Stanley was made senior pastor of the church, but the group of men did not relent. Though he prayed that God would remove the men, the Lord's answer was quite different. Dr. Stanley was told to acknowledge every action and every request from these men as coming from God, not the men, and that it would keep Dr. Stanley from becoming bitter, resentful, or angry.
By 1971, Dr. Stanley started a television broadcast called The Chapel Hour, a gospel program that would grow to worldwide status. The Christian Broadcasting Network began airing The Chapel Hour in 1977, and by 1978, it was becoming a nationally known show. Dr. Stanley felt it needed a more meaningful title and renamed the ministry In Touch, inspired by a living Bible he owned. One morning in 1989, as Dr. Stanley was in prayer just prior to an In Touch rally being held in Kansas City, Psalm 67 verse 2 kept coming into his mind. "Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for mankind." As he rose from his prayers, Dr. Stanley looked out of the window of the Coliseum where the rally was being held and saw a rooftop covered with satellite dishes and broadcast antennas. At that moment, he heard God say to him, "This is how I will use you to send the gospel around the world." Dr. Stanley was overwhelmed and overjoyed that the Lord would see fit to use him to minister, not just in the United States, but around the world. In Touch has grown to include television, radio, print, and digital mediums to spread the good news and is heard or seen on more than 3,600 television, radio, and satellite networks and stations worldwide in more than 70 languages around the globe. Dr. Stanley's sermons have been translated into more than 130 heart languages. Along with radio and television, Dr. Stanley is also a prolific writer, penning more than 70 books, including his biography, which was published in 2016. In it, Dr. Stanley states that he models his ministry after a message from Paul to the Ephesians in Acts 20, verse 24. "Life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love."
Throughout his lifetime, Dr. Stanley has been the recipient of many accolades. From 1984 through 1986, Dr. Stanley served as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. In 1988, Dr. Stanley was inducted into the National Religious Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He was named Clergyman of the Year in 1989 by the Religious Heritage of America. The NRB honored In Touch with Television Producer of the Year in 1993. And in 1999, they received the Radio Program of the Year Award by the National Religious Broadcasters.
Dr. Charles Stanley was called home to the Lord on April 18, 2023. He had been pastor emeritus at First Baptist Church of Atlanta and had continued to broadcast his In Touch sermons both on radio and television. A wealth of information and encouragement can be found online at intouch.org. You can find television or radio station information, read Dr. Stanley's articles and blog posts, buy his books, and much more. Visit intouch.org.
This has been a Crawford Media Group Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of today's Christian leaders. Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to In Touch Ministry Archives, Courageous Faith, My Story of Obedience by Dr. Charles Stanley, published by Howard Books, Deep and Wide, Creating Churches Unchurched People Love to Attend by Andy Stanley, published by Zondervan, The Calling Podcast, Inaudible. Radiography is written, produced, and presented by Gail Conroy, with additional narration by James Kilkenny. Radiography is a Crawford Media Group God and Country production. All rights reserved.